Spotlight.
Welcome, everyone, to the Pro Wrestling Spotlight presents True Hill Heat 56. We are coming live from the True Hill Studios, and we are here to discuss all the wrestling news going around the world, and most especially the Mauro Ranallo Corey Graves story. We're going to be covering the ratings for week 9 of the Wednesday Night War, and we're going to be previewing the MLW Opera Cup, as well as New Japan Pro Wrestling World Tag League Finals. It is me, your True Hill Phenom SP3. To my left, the lovely, the beautiful, the host, who is now dealing with the same pressures that I deal with every single True Hill Heat on SmackDown with the Lynches, Miss Chrissy Love.
Hey, what's up, yo?
Hi.
Yo, all right, so first of all, I love the unity. I already know the whole outfit was picked by you.
No, actually, it was not me.
Oh, Mr. Love did that?
Mr. Love did that.
Shouts out to Larry Love.
He did that because I was like, I had a wrestling t-shirt and I was like, all right, come on, let's do this because let's hurry up and let's go. No, he's like, no, we have to have the same outfit. So I was like, right now?
That was definitely... Unexpected. So that
was like my sister was like she loved. She was like, I'm just gonna watch this one. She was like, I don't really usually watch your YouTube channel, but I see kids and their parents matching. I'm gonna watch this video.
That's what
my sister. So shout out to my sister.
So that was part of our Christmas.
Okay.
So then we had matching pajamas.
Hey, it worked. And to my far left,
I don't know what we're gonna wear for this one. We gotta find something.
Gotta keep being creative. That's what it's all about. To my far left, we have the resident True Hill alcoholic himself. He is battered, he is bruised, but he is back.
He's still not defeated.
He will never give up.
He is
top guy JJ.
And I'm going to somewhat get a little limited, but you know what? Damn it, I'm going to try. Because before this show, I swore an oath that I was not doing this today.
That lasted about like 20, 30
minutes.
About 20, 30 minutes.
But you know, that courage, and when this Nimrod puts he hits the little record button on there without telling nobody, all of a sudden this little shot of adrenaline just comes for hope, you know, so it just pops up.
We're gonna
give this a go here. So if I die on set, then you know, you guys are just, you know, here to come get me. At least I got three people here to save me.
I'm pretty sure there's a hospital pretty close somewhere.
Of course we're in Manhattan, we're in the great city of Manhattan, so of course they're definitely here, you know?
Absolutely. So we gotta start off every True Hill Heat how we always started off, with our True Hill roll call. Most especially, I wanna start off with shouting out a couple of our YouTube subscribers.
Are you not gonna say what happened on our YouTube page?
That's what I wanna get into.
Okay, right.
We have a lot of things going on in our YouTube page.
This has
right
been
now.
The main focus. Like, we got like what we
So Chrissy wants me to first announce that we have eclipsed 300 subscribers on our YouTube channel.
After a long time,
like building it up, Chrissy always asking me, when are we going to pass it? When is it going to be more? I was counting it down. I was like, we're one away, Chrissy.
Yeah, no.
And then when we got it, I sent her the screenshot. She was just like, so she was very happy about that. I was happy about that. I know you guys were happy about that. So we got to shout out a couple of our new YouTube subscribers. So Un Go Shi A2H, he's actually a subscriber.
Wait,
yes, that is his name on YouTube. It's Un Go Shi A2H. He is a very great young gentleman. I met him at my job. And he told me I was wearing an AEW shirt from All Out, and he looked at me and he was like, bro, you watch AEW? And I was like, yeah, I actually went to this event and I went to All In. He was like, for real? I was like, yes, and I do a wrestling podcast. He was like, I need to find out your information when I come back down. So we had to shout out Un Go Shi A2H.
He wasn't telling you how you say his name then.
No, he did not. I think his real name is Dylan, but he's a black man.
Oh.
So, yeah. But shouts out to him. Okay. He had a very cool, he had a very unique comment on one of our videos.
Salute, mate.
Salute.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Boom.
He basically had a cool comment, basically calling out that WWE is trash to him and AEW is on top. We got a shout out Gaming Freak PR1. He's one of our newest YouTube subscribers. So we thank everyone that's watching right now live on Facebook via the Pro Wrestling Spotlight. or True Hills page. I don't know which one of my co-hosts or our producer is adding that to the True Hills page, but whoever it is, I thank you for that. But we want you guys, we want to encourage you guys to come on over to our YouTube channel. The True Hill Heat YouTube channel has so many segments and new shows going on there. We got the Romeo Report, which is almost over 200 views already in 1 week's time. Romeo has a very unique, hilarious viewpoint on professional wrestling, and his video was You won't be able to keep a straight face hearing Romeo with his can't miss picks. Going Raw with Drunk Guy JJ. I think his record now is 7. He has 7 shots from his first episode. He took about 5 more for Survivor Series. So you can stay tuned to our YouTube channel for the next edition. Of course, SmackDown with the Lynches, the beautiful portrait of a beautiful family. It's really our only family friendly show on our YouTube channel.
You know what? And major props to you because you didn't curse.
She didn't.
You added no money to the swear jar.
They had an empty swear jar. I was so surprised.
Like, wow. Like, that took a lot of grit and a lot of composure. Because
I'm proud of myself, actually.
Yeah, because when you know, because kids are gonna be kids, man, and when they don't know nobody's names and when they don't know none of these moves, and when you hear the unexpected error,
unexpected error was the best part of that video.
And you just hear her roll her, you just see her roll her eyes, like, oh my god, what are y'all watching?
No.
Yo, she was
what makes the show.
She was just like trying to pull so much.
No, I said you can see it in my face. I'm like,
I love the long pause when Larry Love said, "Are we embarrassing you?" And she just has a long pause, like, I love it. Your video was awesome. You can check out the 3 count with SP3.
No, the Wormy was the best one.
Yeah, the guy that does the Wormy. Absolutely.
The Wormy.
The Wormy.
And then they decided to do all of it. They didn't know which one to go with.
It was like, should we do this? It was hilarious. 3 count with SP3 3 times a week. I hope you've been enjoying the up-to-date.
It wasn't going to be funny.
Yeah, it was very hilarious. The up-to-date news from the 3 count. You got NestXT covering NXT. You covered War Games and the last episode of NXT. You got the AEW Dynamite review with my boys Jimmy and Cash. They were all over the place with their review. I just want to say they did not do it in order at all. But it was another funny video. But you guys deserve more announcements, more segments, more new shows. But before we do that, let's go through the roll call. Our True Hill Trinity is, of course, the same from last week. Jamie Tonock at number 3. Number 2, the True Face himself, Steve Salvage. And back at number 1 once again, the Negro Buck, Nick Jackson. Steve, Nick, you will have your t-shirts by Christmas. I guarantee you. It's already been ordered, but PWTs take a long-ass time.
Oh, okay. I want to say,
they take a long ass time. I did it after the last podcast, like I said I would, but PWT takes like a month with shipping. I'm just warning you.
I'm surprised they're still in business, to be honest.
Just warning you. The True Hills that we got to shout out, a longtime True Heel, William Clark, my good friend, Jeff Santana, a new True Heel. We got Brandon Lills, Van Robbins. He's a very cool True Heel that I met in Chicago. We finally met after being friends online for a while. Ali Mankank and Anand Sharma. So shouts out to all those True Heels. So we got a couple of new announcements. So we've been hitting you with new segments on our YouTube channel, but we got more new segments to get into. So if you watched our YouTube channel last night or this morning, you've seen the SmackDown review. The Lynches were away. So we brought in 2 very great people. First of all, it is Mr. Name That Jabroni himself, Chris G, and his co-host, Mary Jane. Yes, Mary Jane and Chris G are coming to you on the True Hill Heat YouTube channel.
It was
actually very hilarious. The best part is when Chris's wife calls him out for smoking in the house.
because he was trying to be family friendly and keep it outside, but he's puff and then he just distorted a little bit out. Wifey caught it right away.
Immediately.
Right away.
And just
and he tells the camera, like, edit it out.
The producer.
But never told our producer, but edit it out.
So,
that was the best part.
So,
that was the best part. But let's make a formal announcement for Chris G. He has a new show coming to our YouTube channel. It is called Jabronis and Joints. This is similar to his little post that he used to do on the Trio Hills group page where he named that Jabroni. Historical jobbers throughout history or people that just get beat all the time. Brooklyn Brawlers of the world. He's going to name that Jabroni.
Brooklyn Brawlers of the
yes.
world.
Yeah. He's going to name that Jabroni with his co-host, Mary Jane, every single week. The first video will be this weekend on the True Hood
right?
YouTube channel.
He should play the song, Mary Jane. That's his like intro, yeah?
Hey, he's already got his own intro video. Really? So let's not give him any ideas. He's already working on it. He's a professional. So shouts out to Chris G. And Jabronis and Joints will debut this weekend. Also, we got a debut that's he's actually working on it right now. Or we had to get somebody for our AEW Dark and NWA Power review. We are reviewing all the great TV shows throughout the week in professional wrestling, so we couldn't forget the YouTube shows on Tuesdays. If you're watching this on YouTube, if you haven't watched AEW Dark or NWA Power, go out and watch that, and then watch the Dark Power with the Stat King. AEW Dark and NWA Power reviewed by our one and only Stat King John Paul Martin. He helped us out with our Starcade review for the YouTube channel. He did a great job with that. So he's going to have his own weekly segment, Dark Power, reviewing AEW Dark and NWA Power. But we got one more segment to announce, but I'm not going to announce it myself. I'm going to let Top Guy JJ take the reins, because everybody's been asking me, where is Top Guy JJ? Like, everybody's got a weekly segment. Chrissy's got a weekly segment. I'm on the YouTube channel 3 times a week. We got a whole bunch of new characters, but everybody's asking, where is Top Guy JJ? So tell
them. I'm here. I'm here. Nah. But first, shout out to, you know what? And this is actually a little weird. Like, I actually was digging the Stat King's. If you don't want to see Starcade at all, like, which you're probably not, if you got 12 minutes to 14 minutes, Stat King gives it to you beautifully. And you don't need to watch any of it.
Really?
And you don't need to watch any of it. Okay. Like, he gives you the whole show in about 14 minutes.
Mm.
Absolutely.
So if you want to catch it that way, yeah, best way to catch it is just watch this clip.
With the figures. With the stats and figures.
With the stats
and
figures.
I love the stats and figures. And the legal advice of Lana not having to file a restraining order in every state.
Yeah. So yeah. We'll get into that, I guess, at some point throughout the show.
They make them for a shirt in it, like in jail. Please, I will buy it. Other than that, that's the only thing I will buy.
Hey, teach us all. But tell them.
All right. Well, I mean, listen. Yeah, I've been thinking about it. I've been going back and forth, and yes. So this is definitely happening. I've been up and down, obviously, with some illnesses. So I've been wanting to kind of like rest up a little bit, but it's coming. The weekly version of me hating everything about what goes on in a week of wrestling is coming to you very, very soon. It is going to be weekly heat that is returning, but it is going to be done by yours truly with the passion that it deserves. All right? So all this crap that we've been seeing on weeks in and weeks out, you are going to get and is going to be educated. It is not going to just be some rambling rats. It is going to be spoken with a lot of passion, but you're probably going to either disagree or agree with a lot of the stuff that I'm saying. But at the end of the day, I'm not going to really care.
That's Top Guy JJ for you. So, like I said, Jabronis and Joints with Chris G, Dark Power with the Stat King. Those shows are going to premiere this week on the True Hill Heat YouTube channel. Weekly Heat with Top Guy JJ is more... basically, we're going to have that starting in 2020. But I think we deserve a weekly heat culmination of the year 2019. So you think you could do one before the end of the year?
Yeah, you'll definitely get one within. All right. Before the next episode, you guys will definitely have a culmination of this shit that we have.
Absolutely.
For 2019.
Thank you, Top
Guy.
Thank
God for Wednesdays.
Thank you, Top Guy. But yes, that is all our announcements. So before we go into our top news stories, let's hear from the Spotlight and the True Heels.
Stat Guy, talking to Chris, told him that marijuana has been legalized in Illinois starting January 1st. Joints and Jabronis in Chicago for All Out 2 weekend.
Oh, there you go. Great idea.
He said he'll try to make it out there. That would be dope. JMC is back. He's catching us for the first time in a while. He's at home nursing and rehabbing.
Oh, I hope you get
better. Yeah, I've seen that. And yeah, man, so hopefully you get better. You know, listen, man, you got to get better because I need to bust your chops, man. Like, this whole being friendly and all of that good stuff.
We can't bust your chops when you're not feeling well.
But you know what? I definitely want you to get better. Get yourself right so you can be back on getting, you know, shitted on, basically.
Speaking of getting better, Drunk Guy says his liver is going on vacation after next week. Sorry, guys.
he said that he was going to do the next review with eggnog, so I think that's a little bit easier for him, no?
And Dave Hizzo. Dave Hizzo loves the family segment, Chrissy.
Thank you. Appreciate you.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yes, we want to hear from you guys as we go live, but we got to get into this top news. If you've been watching the 3 count with SP3, this has been the main story I've been covering, especially last week after Survivor Series. It's about Mauro Ranallo and Corey Graves. Corey Graves posted a tweet during NXT TakeOver War Games criticizing Mauro Ranallo. He basically said in the tweet that whether people realize it or not, there is a WWE Hall of Famer and a former ROH champion on commentary. I think they have a lot to say. Basically saying that Mauro was talking too much on commentary.
Wow.
He also responded to a fan that said Mauro was using too many rap references on commentary, and Corey said far too many as his reply. This was this basically came out on Saturday evening. Sunday night at WWE Survivor Series, Mauro Ranallo was supposed to be on the telecast calling the NXT versus Raw and SmackDown matches with Corey Graves, but he no-showed because, as we've known in the past, we've also covered this before with the situation that he had in 2017, Mauro Ranallo suffers from bipolar disorder. Mm-hmm. He's been dealing with a lot of mental health issues, and Corey Graves doing this in a public light, basically a coworker or a teammate criticizing you, basically caused him to have like a little bit of a meltdown. He no-showed WWE Survivor Series, as well as the following week's NXT telecast. Corey Graves...
The boy on SmackDown.
Todd Phillips.
Yeah.
No one cared. Everybody cared about Mauro not being there.
I mean, yes, they, but he did good.
I guess.
Wow. Really, guys? Okay.
So, Corey Graves, this was actually reported by the Wrestling Observer and my uncle Dave Meltzer. So, Corey Graves doubled down on this by basically accusing Uncle Dave of being an outright liar, a purveyor of lies, basically pulling his Seth Rollins card. But Dave Meltzer, instead of apologizing like he did to Seth Rollins when he got some of the story wrong, he basically called out Corey Graves and was like, all I did was report what you tweeted and you still haven't deleted.
Mm.
And what you should do is apologize, not try to double down on reporters who are just reporting what you put out in public. So he called him out for that. Corey Graves responded by apologizing on his podcast After the Bell. He basically apologized if he offended anyone. He said that he had some tweets that were an unpopular opinion. He just did these tweets to stir up some controversy for the show and for his podcast. And he didn't mean for it to happen in this way. And he didn't mean to disparage a coworker or teammate. Mauro Ranallo has officially announced from WWE that Mauro will return on tomorrow night's NXT telecast. So we're very happy about that. But what are your thoughts on everything that went down in this situation between Mauro Ranallo and Corey Graves? Chrissy Love.
Corey Graves needs to just do like everyone else and just stay off of the internet. Just stay off of Twitter. Your Twitter fingers are getting you in trouble, sir. Leave Mario alone. Like, that wasn't even necessary. He did a great job as far as I'm concerned, because I watched it at home and it was great.
Absolutely.
I don't think his references were spot on.
He did use a lot of rap references.
I thought they were great, though.
No, the worst one was, Time's Up or something. He used some. It was like during the men's war games.
A corny white guy. What do you
I
expect?
Understand that, but I realized how many he was using when he said that line during the men's war games. But that's besides the point. I agree with you, though.
I just think that he just need to leave him alone. I felt bad for him, of course, especially if it was a person that has to deal with other things outside of work. You're not making it easier for this person. So with that being said, Carmella needs to make you stay off the internet, sir.
Top guy, JJ.
Corey Graves is a bully. I mean, it's you can tell from his on-camera persona. He basically carries pretty much, it sounds like he carries that backstage pretty much. Like, he has a bully-like persona. Like, he does that even on camera. He has a bully mentality on camera. Mm-hmm. So it's like he uses the protection of he won't be assaulted on TV or anything because he won't be assaulted on TV because he's a big name. So he takes advantage of it. He's one of those people that's like privileged that takes full advantage of it. And now he actually now he throws shade at somebody that no one in this business at this juncture has the passion as Morrow. Mm-hmm. No one has it. Whether you misstep a few words or you use too many references or whatever, no one brings it on a weekly or a pay-per-view basis the way that man does. And the fact that you actually now want to overindulge and want to, you know, oh, there's other people, there's another Hall of Famer, and there's someone else that has a lot to offer, and then you throwing shade at his commentary, knowing that he's going, it is a 100% chance that he's going to have a reaction to this because of his illness. There's a guaranteed reaction coming from this. And it's not going to be a positive one. We don't know what the man is going to do. Like, he can do something that's dangerous. He can do something to put himself in a corner. He can do something that'll cost himself his job. But no one, he's not paying attention to that because he's just trying to get likes. He's trying to get retweets. He's trying to get over. He's trying to put that badass persona over.
So what do you guys think about his explanation of he was just stirring the pot to basically...
trying to put his badass persona over.
Because it just didn't make a lot of sense.
It doesn't make any sense.
You're running an angle and you're trying to stir up controversy, shouldn't Morrow know?
But right. Why are you trying... But first of all, why are you trying to have an angle with another announcer? There's nothing's going to carry into that. Like, what is the point? You're going to start a beef with another announcer that you know he ain't getting in no physical confrontations with no one. He can't do it. Nigga, you've been retired, like, because you've been hurt yourself.
Yeah.
So we're not going to sit here and put a medical case together and just potentially have two of my best announcers become damaged goods because of something that they can't do. They can't fight. So what is the point of this? What is the whole point of this? There's no point of what he did whatsoever, which is why I called him a bully, because there's no reason at all as to why he did what he did. And then his explanation made it even worse. His explanation just basically is like, all right, yeah, you just justified you being a fucking bully.
Mm-hmm.
And shit is like, no, dude, like, cut it out. Like, why you ain't pop off like that to Samoa Joe? Why you ain't use Samoa Joe using too many references? Because you know what Samoa Joe gonna do? Samoa Joe gonna heal. And then when Samoa Joe gonna heal, he gonna pop off on you. Why you ain't saying nothing about Samoa Joe?
He ain't saying nothing about Nigel. He could have been like, I hate his accent.
Why you ain't saying nothing about Booker T?
Well, Booker T's not on commentary anymore.
Yeah, I know, but when he was on commentary and now why you ain't saying nothing about his backstage?
He kind of was saying that he tried to stir up controversy to build up the whole brand warfare type of thing. Honestly, I don't even think Corey Graves came up with this explanation. I feel like this is WWE talking before, and he is just the filter of WWE's explanation. Because also that came out during the Wrestling Observer newsletter is that WWE in this situation views Corey Graves as the victim or the babyface because of how public perception is basically demolishing him. So what do you believe that WWE has a toxic environment behind the scenes knowing that fact? Chrissy?
Yeah.
I mean,
it's just, you already know what the guy deals with, and you not having his back behind it just shows that you guys are just stupid and bullies as well. So, and they are actually bullies, because case instance, the Vince ran to Madison Square Garden and say, "Oh no, he can't have. They can't have their event here." But they had it there
with
anyway.
The New Japan and Ring of Honor. Yeah. They've done this throughout history for the past decades. So, but let's hear from the Spotlight and the True Heels about this.
Lots of thoughts on this. Chris G says Corey's a dick, but damn yo, Mauro's skin is as thick as a sweater made out of toilet paper.
Oh god! Now I have to respond to Chris. Before you continue with the Spotlight and the True Heels, let me just get this on Front Street, because I heard a lot of people be like, "Oh, he needs to man up and stuff." He has bipolar disorder. I'm gonna say this very slow because a lot of you motherfuckers don't get it. He cannot control his emotions. Mm-hmm. He will, if you really want him to react in the way that you are asking him by saying, "Oh, he's got thin skin. Oh, he needs to man up." He will probably kill Corey Graves.
Hey, yo, you took the words right out of my mouth.
Like, what is wrong with
you? He might accidentally kill you.
What is wrong? Like, honestly, I need y'all to take a step back and realize how fucking dumb y'all are for saying that.
I didn't even know that he was gonna kill him.
Like, I have a cousin that suffers from mental illness, so I feel very passionate about this, and I'm willing to go to bat. I've even, my toxic brother, Larry, he's a man's man, so he's one of the people that's, Mauro needs to grow a set of balls. I am challenging Larry to say that shit to my face the next time we record Toxic Talk, and we can really have a debate about this, because I will not stand for anyone thinking that shit. Like, you don't understand mental illness, so you should shut the fuck up.
Wow. Okay. That went way left.
Well, goddamn.
I mean, listen, I ain't got much to add to that, but I completely and 1000% agree with the sentiment, because that is a real life issue. It's a real life disease. It is a disease. It is not something
you take
just
medication.
It's not
people
something
can't
that you can just like pop a Tylenol for and it goes away. Like, that shit is a uncontrollable disease. So you are literally in a place. You could be sitting where Miss Chrissy Love is sitting right now, and at a moment's glare, you have no idea what you're going to do next. You have no idea what the emotional reaction of what you're going to do next based on what you hear, say, or do. You don't know what's coming next. So I dare anybody in the regular society, if you want to go and play hero and type with your little Twitter fingers and say, "Oh, he needs a man up," see if there's a doctor that can give you maybe like a temporary shot of bipolar disorder and see how you handle it and see how you react to it. And then come back with those same comments on here the following episode to be like, "Oh shit, that shit is actually serious."
And even like Frank Shamrock, who's a really good friend of Mauro Ranallo, he's actually, I think he's his agent or manager. He went out after the Corey Graves tweet and he was like, "A lot of people have gotten used to Twitter and not used to getting their teeth punched in."
Yeah.
Like he called it like he saw it, and that was the correct way to view it.
Pause for a second. So this is gonna be a direct response to Chris. So you're saying you're talking about Mauro directly. Mauro has the disorder. So you're talking about that spectrum of people. He has it. He can't remove it. He has bipolar disorder. It doesn't matter who we're talking about. If they're a victim of this disease, we're talking about that disease in general.
Like, I understand if we said this back in 2017. The first time this happened in this fucking company. But the fact that some of y'all people are forgetting the fact this happened in WWE before, 2 years ago. That's the whole reason Mauro is on NXT. He wasn't supposed to be on NXT. They hired him to be on SmackDown, and then he was getting criticized and picked on backstage on the main roster. So they sent his ass down to NXT after they went to court and settled it.
This is one of the most aware things that the wrestling community, world, WWE, and people in general knows about this man, this situation, and what they have dealt with on the public front. So to sit here and try to spin it as you're trying to create an angle from this, no, there's no way around this, bro. There's no way around your fuck up. There's no way around it. Just eat it, own up, and actually just fucking apologize to the man. Is it too hard to do that?
Because as of now, we still don't know if Corey Graves has reached out to Mauro Ranallo to apologize. Anything else?
One quick thing, I think we should move on. I think everyone should watch his Showtime documentary, Bipolar Rock and Roller.
Yes.
It's a documentary about Mauro and his disorder, and you'll see what's up then.
Absolutely. Let's hear one more thing from, if you got any comments or questions from the Spotlight or the Truth Us before we move on.
Chris followed up. I feel for Mauro. I'm just saying, if this has happened before, maybe he should just stay off Twitter. Attempt to stop reading shit on the internet. Like I said, I feel for the guy, but how many times is this going to keep happening?
It's happened.
It's going to happen for the rest of his life.
It's happened twice,
Chris. It's going to happen. No, but it's going to happen for the rest of his life. It's going to happen forever. It's going to happen forever. Like, right now, honestly, like, I love you to death, but right now, you're Seth Rollins and yourself. Right
you
now.
Really are, though. Like, you really
like,
are.
Right just now, you're, like, just right now, because right now, you're just kind of making the explanations worse.
We're, really?
Because that they're, was, not, that they're not getting result. Any better. Like, Seth is damaging himself. Right now, these are not helping because we understand the points and we are grown men, but all of us here do not have bipolar disorder.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I don't comment on what Mauro should do, and neither should you, Chris. You don't have bipolar disorder. You don't suffer from mental illness, so you should not ask him to act in a way that you feel is right, because you cannot understand that. And that's all I want to get clear to anyone who's asking Mauro to react in a certain way. All right, so we got to move on to week 9 of the Wednesday Night Wars. Mauro Ranallo was not at NXT, but NXT did deliver, and a lot of people showed up to watch NXT for the second straight week. NXT beat out AEW in the ratings war. It finished with 810,000 viewers to AEW's 663 viewers. Shit. AEW did beat out NXT in all the demos except for over 50, or to get a lot of you WWE marks mad, old people. But their lead is in most of these demos is dwindling. So what are your thoughts on NXT's second straight victory? They won 906. They had 916,000 viewers for last Wednesday's show against AEW's 893,000. So they only won by 23,000 last week. And then this week, they won by a couple of 100,000. So the lead is they're kind of getting away from AEW after following the Survivor Series. So what's your thoughts?
I'm thinking it's from the whole NXT and Survivor Series pay-per-view. Maybe that's what helped them to win. Will it continue tomorrow? I don't know. We have to watch and find out. But, I mean, they had parts that were like, whatever. But other than that, it was a solid show. Mauro was not there, but I still think the commentator still delivered. I still think it was still good. So we shall see what's going to happen. I think it's still stemming from Mauro not being on Survivor Series, and then they was trying to see if he was going to be there again. So, we'll see what happens.
So, what's your thoughts, JJ?
I mean, I think this was on, like, to, like, not even to, like, be funny. I think this was kind of expected for NXT to pull out these two victories here, because they had not only had the go home show, then they had the fallout.
Mm-hmm. Well, the go home show,
WWE spent the whole weekend getting NXT over. They spent the whole weekend getting NXT over. Everything that we predicted, everything that we were saying that they were about to, I said it on here, that they were about to hand out more jobs in Target.
What?
They
no.
went the opposite
oh
direction.
God.
And they, uh-huh. because they were losing the ratings war every week. So they spent a whole big four pay-per-view and put NXT over to really get you to start to invest into that product. And it paid off on that, on the go-home show, because they won their first battle. And then here they win again with the second week after the fallout to see what was going to happen afterwards. Because that performance that Keith Lee had at Survivor Series was Woo! Fucking phenomenal. Like, Keith Lee was phenomenal. Like, the NXT cast, like, even Rhea Ripley was phenomenal. Like, the NXT team was great on Survivor Series. So, it was a really good way to get... for them to see that on Wednesday, to see if there was anything that's going to happen for them. And good Lord, did we see Keith Lee show the fuck out the following night on NXT. Goddamn. Adam Cole was still trying to leave the arena. Like, that man sent him flying, yo. No carry-on required, yo. Sent them on a direct flight. But what worries me is, I think, your follow-up question.
So do you, I was going to say, do you think these ratings is cause for concern for AEW?
I'm worried about the AEW. I'm worried about not them being beat. I'm worried about that number. I'm worried about 663,000 viewers. Like, I knew, I was expecting AEW to be somewhere to hover between the 8 and the 9s. Like, I thought there was going to be somewhere between that number. Not to win
every
ride.
But
not to get below, like, so now when they get below 8, all right, so that's cool. All right, they below 8. But now they're even, they went below 7. Like, that right there is alarming to me. It's like, is the product connecting? Is it connecting to the audience? Like, we love it because we're wrestling fans. But is it connecting to the general public well enough to keep them locked onto their TVs? Because that is a 150,000 fan drop off from a week ago. Like, that's a lot of people.
No, it's 200. I know that 200. 200 less.
200. Like, I understand that we had a big holiday and all of this stuff. Like, NXT stayed a little steady. And USA Network and TNT are two mega companies. Mm-hmm. They're two mega networks.
Yep.
So everybody that has a cable provider has these two channels. Mm-hmm. I'm worried about that low number for AEW. I'm worried about that because it's like, do they have to do a little bit more? Because they've been putting on a great product. But it's like, what are they doing? Is it, do they have to push the extra button? Do they have to go the extra mic? What is it?
Well, I mean, I said it on the 3 count with SP3. I thought NXT was better this week, and I just put it out there in the open. AEW, the first hour was rough this week. Outside of the Jericho Thanksgiving celebration for the champion,
that was
the highlight of the first hour. But you had a Best Friends versus Lucha Bros match that didn't get enough time. Then you had a tag team women's match that didn't really get the reaction from the crowd that it needed. The show really didn't pick up until Pac versus Omega. That's why I loved my boy Marcus Cash's review during our AEW Dynamite review. He said, skip the first 48 minutes. He was like, that's it. Skip the first 78 minutes. That was his rating for the show. Skip the first 78 minutes, and he said the rest of the show is fantastic. It's great. That's how I felt watching AEW. So I definitely agree with his rating. But do you see the momentum remaining with NXT? They've come off the Survivor Series. They've come off defeating Raw and SmackDown at Survivor Series. NXT TakeOver War Game. So they have a lot of momentum that head into that post-TakeOver, post-Survivor Series NXT. Do you see that momentum remaining this week?
I don't know. It's kind of like, what are they going to bring? Take us back and forth? Are they going to go back onto the show? How are you going to pull us in? I'm going to watch regardless, but how are you going to pull more people to watch and be entertained like you did the last couple of days? So,
what
I'm not
you,
sure.
My question, this is actually a legit question. Does anybody know the card or the main event to AEW Dynamite?
Yeah.
No.
Like, what is the card?
Joey Janela versus John Moxley.
They're going to lose. Like, they're going to lose again. Like, you can't come off of a losing week to promote Joey Janela. Like, you can't do it. Like, you cannot do that.
Maybe they have much faith in their brand.
Their brand ain't big enough yet.
I think that's the wrong type of way of thinking. AEW is trying to build for the future. So you have to put these guys like Joey Janela, Darby Allin, in the main event against Jon Moxley. Because those are the guys that are going to grow your audience in the long term. These 12 to 17, the 18 to 34 audience is watching for all this young talent. Because those are the talents that's going to be around when they're in the 35 to 49 demographic and the old people demographic that WWE dominates.
So
I feel that NXT is going to continue their momentum this week. They are going to win, and it has nothing to do with Joey Janela versus Jon Moxley. That's horrible analysis. It has nothing to do with that. It has everything to do with them defeating Raw and SmackDown, and now the plus 50 audience that is in the millions for Raw and SmackDown, at least half of them are now watching NXT. That is the reason why they will continue their momentum on NXT this week. AEW has 3 or 4 matches on their card. NXT has announced nothing. It has everything to do with following Survivor Series, the momentum that they got from being on Raw and SmackDown, the momentum they got from beating Raw and SmackDown will continue this week.
I mean, we're going to definitely agree to completely disagree here, because I'm not going to be looking forward to I'm a wrestling fan, so yes, I'm looking forward to that match, but I'm not expecting that to grow the fans 100,000 viewers from the prior week.
But
that's
a bad
Moxley
view when NXT has announced nothing. It's literally nothing.
They never announced
nothing.
But they don't announce anything. They're the
brand. Yes, they do. They have been for the last couple of weeks.
And that, you know what? Sometimes saying nothing is better than talking.
They do have something announced. So I want to hear Top Guy JJ explain to us how Damian Priest versus Killian Dane is a bigger draw than John Moxley versus Joey Janela. That's the only match they have announced.
Is it the main event?
That's the only match they announced. I don't know if Joey Janela versus John Moxley is the main event. I don't know if John Moxley or Joey Janela is the main event. I just know that's the biggest name that AEW has advertised is John Moxley. So John Moxley versus Joey Janela is the expected main event.
Look,
when NXT has one match on their card, yes, then we have to consider Damian
Ride the hot hand. You have the hot hand in Darby Allin. Ride the hot hand with Darby Allin. Ride the hot hand with Sammy Guevara. Ride the fucking hot hand with MJF. Why are we putting Joey Janela in the main event?
We don't know.
I literally asked what was the main event? What was the card? What was the main event?
I guessed John Moxley. There's also the Young Bucks and Dustin Rhodes versus the Inner Circle. That could be the main event.
But this is why I specifically asked what the main event was. If we know.
The main event has nothing to do with the rating, JJ.
All right.
The main event has zero to do with the rating. The reason why NXT has won 2 weeks is because they beat Raw and SmackDown at Survivor Series. The week before that, where they got their first victory, is because Triple H went on Monday Night Raw with 2 million viewers and said, Raw and SmackDown, come to NXT. Of course they were going to win.
I'm not talking about NXT's rating. I'm talking about AEW's rating.
The main event has AEW's nothing to do with the AEW rating.
AEW's ratings is worrying me, not NXT's viewership.
Let's see if
you're completely going off the rail with what I'm talking about.
All right. Romeo says, should have went straight into the MJF Cody angle. That was interesting TV. Chris says, it's a marathon, not a sprint. AEW got to take an L a few weeks to build up the stars that will get them the dub in the future.
Absolutely.
There's a whole lot of them.
I agree with that.
And Stat Guy says, chasing the ratings after a drop is part of what killed TNA when they were fighting WWE.
Thank you, Stat King.
They gave away big matches on TV and had the same people over and over.
Thank you. Exactly what I was trying to say. So, my final question for the Spotlight Nation, for JJ and Chrissy, what can AEW do to turn things around? How can they regain the momentum?
Make better matches that will draw people in. I don't know. Like, I'm going to still watch them regardless. But for the other people that are probably losing interest or not knowing what's going on, like, I was bored for some of the women matches. I'm not even going to lie to you.
So do you think they need work on the women's division?
Probably so, but maybe overall brand and stuff, like just keeping people tuned in. It's a lot of shit going on Wednesdays, like, and especially if you don't got picture, you lost, man.
Hey, some people is like that. I just DVR both shows. I won one after the other. That's what I did. JJ?
I like the idea of the Moxley and Janela. Like, I like the idea of, if that match is a part of the night, great. But what I think that they need to really do is really put a onus on the hot hands that they got, the hot young superstars that they have. Like, everybody knows who Sammy Guevara is right now. Everyone knows MJF. Like, keep the momentum going with this, whatever the story is with Adam Hangman Page. Like, we're reaching a little bit by trying to get all of them up. Like, we got to focus on a few of them to get that relationship going with the viewer. Mm-hmm. That's my point about them, is that we need a relationship. You can't be like, oh, here's MJF, here's the best heel in the business. Oh, here's Sammy Guevara, the best ever. Let's just change you up now and let's just throw another guy in there.
They don't really know who the characters are.
Right. Get somebody hot and keep them there for a little while, at least.
That's good. Good point. So, we gotta go through other top news stories. WWE news. Tommaso Ciampa on the Lillian Garcia podcast says he would retire before going to the main roster. Wow. He says that because of his neck surgery, he realizes that he does not have a lot of bumps on his bump card, so he does not want to work 300 days a year, and rather work 40 to 50 matches on the NXT roster for 4 more years and end his career that way than doing 1 year on the main roster and pretty much winding up in a hospital.
Yep.
So, Kofi Kingston made it to 1,000 days now as a WWE Tag Team Champion. That is the record for any superstar as WWE Tag Team Champion. He spent 1,000 days as WWE Tag Team Champion in his entire career.
Oh, okay. I'm about to say, wait, what? He just lost the
Kofi Kingston. It's pissing me off.
Former creative member Chris DeJoseph has returned to WWE.
Who?
Chris DeJoseph. He was the guy, the fat guy that used to put tanning lotion on himself and dance with his Speedo on.
Dick Johnson.
Exactly.
Yo, does Cody even remember he was WWE champion?
Kofi? No.
Kofi, sorry.
No.
Does he even? I did say Cody. I said Cody. I completely butchered that. I complete because he said Cody and then it just rang off
me. Are you
me.
One of my children?
Did he forget?
I respected him.
Did Kofi forget that he was a champion?
No one cares anymore. Goldberg will be the second guest on Stone Cold's Broken Skull Sessions. I've been hearing from everybody. If you haven't watched it already, The Undertaker on Broken Skull Session was a really good one. I had to go out of my way to watch that.
Me too.
Bobby Fish has still not been cleared following a possible injury on NXT last week. He is listed as day-to-day.
Wow.
AEW news. AEW and In Demand has signed a deal to have one AEW pay-per-view per quarter from now until June 2021. Chris Jericho, in an interview with Sports Illustrated, promised that the Jon Moxley feud that was teased at the end of AEW Dynamite this past week will not be rushed. He said it's going to be a long, drawn-out story that's going to be better than their WWE feud that was kind of rushed. And he also talked about the origins of his Thanksgiving celebration. He said that he came up with the idea of following All Out when he won the AEW championship. He said that his whole thing with AEW has been asking for the executives to give him his thank you. So he knew that once he won the championship and knew they were coming back for Thanksgiving Eve in the Sears Center, that he was going to do the Thanksgiving celebration. AEW has stolen another talent from right underneath the nose of WWE, Chris Statlander. If you checked out AEW Dynamite last week, she was featured in the tag team match teaming with Hikaru Shida versus Bea Priestley and Sakura. Chris Statlander probably got the best reaction of any of the four ladies. She's a very tall girl, very athletic. She has a bunch of potential. She's only been wrestling for about 3 to 4 years. But WWE was under the impression she was going to show up and report for duty at the PC in January.
Wow.
But AEW decided to book her on a couple of the dark shows and now on AEW Dynamite. So they seem like they are going to be the ones who sign her over WWE.
Wow.
New Japan news. New Japan president Harold Mage says that he is open to a partnership with AEW. What we've all been asking for. But he says that it will happen down the line. He says that right now they're in exploratory phase. So he doesn't want to deal with them just yet. But he says down the line he may be open to it. Wrestle Kingdom will not be 2 days going forward. He said that because there is the Olympics going on in Japan, they have decided that the 2-day Wrestle Kingdom in the Tokyo Dome would basically start up the whole year, a big year for Japan. So that was the reason to do the 2 nights of the Tokyo Dome, but he doesn't see it going forward. And he believes that New Japan Pro Wrestling of America will help Ring of Honor. Okay, Harold. ROH news, speaking of the devil.
Right.
More details have come out concerning ROH's Woman of Honor division. Britt Baker actually had several dates left on her Ring of Honor deal that she signed in 2018 that was not fulfilled due to her signing with AEW. ROH was feeling very upset about this, and Britt Baker actually showed up at a Ring of Honor event after Ring of Honor decided not to let her fulfill her dates, and people backstage had to politic with COO Joe Koff to have a 5-minute match between Britt Baker and Kelly Klein, and Joe Koff still declined because he did not want to use Baker after she signed with AEW.
Wow.
Plans for Deonna Purrazza versus Kelly Klein in the finals of the Woman of Honor title tournament were basically scrapped following Purrazza signing with WWE. And then, of course, Kelly Klein, who's still the current Woman of Honor champion, has been blocked by ROH on Twitter. So, Top Guy JJ, As always, we gotta come to you for these Ring of Honor news, because we started off the year with you still believing in ROH. It's kind of dwindled, I will say. You have been kind of coming to the side of logicness. So, what's your feelings on the latest news that's come out about Ring of Honor? My sentiments exactly.
I have nothing to say.
My sentiments exactly. And finally, Ray Horace and Nicole Savoy set to debut during Ring of Honor Final Battle Weekend.
Yo, can somebody just go and take them out back and put them out?
Put them out to pasture. Ring of Honor, it's been
like
real.
Just one to the head so it could just be like painless.
No.
Just like, just go bankrupt and just call it. Like, just, yo, you know what? This is one of them times that I just wish that WWE just like bought these motherfuckers. Just to fire them. Like, just buy them and just get rid of them. Just make it one less company.
I got more Ring of Honor news. Wait for it. Okay, so the final bit of news that we got to get into is about MLW. We got CML and NWA. Filthy Tom Lawler has officially signed long-term with MLW following the contract negotiations falling up short. I know our good friend Tamara Battles, he's very happy about that. Filthy Tom remains with MLW. He followed that by turning heel on the Von Erichs on the Thanksgiving special for MLW Fusion. And he will verse a Von Erich, unnamed, in New York City. We don't know yet. This Thursday. Maybe. This Thursday for the MLW Opera Cup. Tonight's edition of NWA Power will be the last to feature Jim Cornette. The last match that he called for the promotion was the Rock and Roll Express versus the Wild Card, which is the main event for the NWA Tag Team titles. And to finally cap it all off and talking about Ring of Honor, with a Ring of Honor star, Bandito has signed with CMLL.
This is way too much.
What that means for him in Ring of Honor.
This is way too much ROH news.
What that means for him in Ring of Honor, we don't know, but Bandito has officially signed with CMLL. Let's hear from the Spotlight and the True Hills before we move on.
Chris G says the only thing that can save ROH is Jesus. The Negro Buck says the way things have turned out now is just sad to me. Didn't think anything could be worse than TNA in 2016.
They found a way in 2019, man.
How?
I don't know how, but they did.
How?
And Xavier had a question from earlier. Are Pac and Omega fighting each other again? Because Pac challenged Omega last week.
Yeah, after, I think that was like one of their like online things. Yeah, Pac did challenge him. The guys, they're both 1-1. Omega won last week on AEW Dynamite. Pac won at All Out, so they're 1-1. I would love for them to save it for their next pay-per-view, because I feel like these guys deserve 20 to 25 minutes to have one of the best matches of next year. Well,
I hope it won't happen at Bash at the Beach. I feel like it's going to happen at Bash at the Beach.
I would love that, too. I have a feeling
it's going to happen at Bash at the Beach. That's my prediction for that.
And the Negro Buck says, I don't know if this is for this coming episode, but he's looking forward to AEW just for Pentagon versus Daniels.
That is this week's episode of AEW Dynamite. AEW Dynamite, again, has a bunch of great matches on the card for tomorrow.
But will people be engaged in it, though?
We gotta see. That's the real question.
The crowd probably will be, but are people at the
Pentagon
TV,
and Daniels is gonna be damn good.
The TV viewers are watching. Like, are they
Pentagon
going to
and
be
Daniels
engaged?
Is gonna be damn good.
I wasn't concerned, like Top Guy JJ, about the AEW numbers, but if it comes out that the AEW number is still the same or down even more, then I will join him on the concern boat. So let's get into what we miss.
There's plenty of room. There's definitely plenty of room. I'll let you know that right now.
We missed the WWE Survivor Series week. Again, we got to start off with NXT TakeOver War Games. Of course, the biggest highlights, Team Ciampa defeating Undisputed Era after Ciampa hit one of the craziest spots of 2019. Yeah. An air raid crash from the top of the cage, too cold, through a table. This followed Kevin Owens returning to NXT in his original gear from NXT and original Titantron to join Team Ciampa. But honestly, in my eyes, that wasn't even the best match of the night. The women's War Games was even better than the men's War Games to me. Team Ripley defeated Team Baszler.
There's only two of them.
Yes, but it is what it is.
But it was great. It was great.
After Dakota Kai turned heel on Tegan Nox, brutalizing her knee and turning on her best friend, leaving Team Ripley to a 2-on-4 disadvantage. But Rhea Ripley overcome, handcuffing herself to Shayna Baszler and giving her the riptide through two chairs to get the victory. Pete Dunne became the number one contender for the NXT Championship by defeating Killian Dain and Damian Priest. And Finn Balor defeated Matt Riddle. What did you guys think of TakeOver War Games, and what was your best match of the night?
TakeOver was great. Of course, I didn't expect anything else. I mean, come on, it's TakeOver. War Games was amazing. Women, of course, they had to kick off the night. Why not? War Game, the women were great. I really enjoyed their match. I was surprised that the Rhea Ripley's team pulled it off. You know, everyone that said it was going to win lost, except Finn Balor, basically. No, Pete Dunne, too. I said Pete Dunne was going to win.
Yeah, we both said Pete Dunne.
But other than that, the singles matches were... No, that was a triple threat match.
Yeah.
Those were the only ones I got right. Everything else I got wrong. Hey. So, hey. I mean, other than that, the show was amazing. I love the women. The Finn Balor match was great, too. I thought the guys' match was solid.
No, I love the men's War Games. Don't get me wrong. I just felt like the women's War Games just got you more emotionally hooked. The Dakota Kai.
Oh, yeah, because she turned on the... Yeah.
That was one of the best, more predictable heel turns that I've ever seen, but I loved every minute of it.
Because yeah. You didn't think it was going to happen like...
No, I thought... I definitely thought it was going to happen, but I didn't...
Not like when they're inside of the cage. Right. Yeah. So you knew it was going to happen, you just didn't know how it was going to happen.
Exactly.
Gotcha. I didn't know what was going on. I just was like, oh, wow. And she's really, like... And then all you see is Shayna Baszler sitting and just watching.
Laughing. Belly laughing.
Yo! That shit was mad funny. But overall, great, great TakeOver. Of course it's going to be good.
Continues the streak.
I got to go to the TakeOver. I have to go to the TakeOver.
Absolutely. Well, you went to the one in New York.
Well, meaning like War Games.
Oh, okay. You got to see War Games live, for sure. What about you, JJ? What you thought? What was your match of the night?
I mean, I honestly.
Sorry, that is huge.
I sound a little weird, but I actually really love that triple threat match between Pete Dunne, Damian Priest, and Killian Dane. Like,
you
that
mean,
was some.
Larry Morgan? He reminds me of Larry Morgan.
Who killed
him?
Who? Damian Priest?
She
said Damian Priest.
Ooh.
Reminds her of Larry Morgan. I'm done.
Priest is like
20 feet tall, and
so
Larry Morgan. Like, he's like 3 inches taller than SP.
No, he's not.
What are you talking about?
Say what you were gonna say. God.
Yo, but
this is my reference.
My crazy moment of the night was definitely when Dakota Kai went in on she looked like she literally caught her in bed.
Cheating with her man.
Literally, like, the way her reaction, she looked like, I'm gonna fuck your life up, I'm gonna fuck your legs up, I'm gonna fuck you, I'm gonna end your career, bitch. Yep. Like, she played it so well. She looked like a possessed woman. Like, I loved that shit.
Do we think it was rushed, though?
I just love the execution of that.
The only thing I can, like, throw fault on throughout the whole show, honestly, because I love all four matches, but the one thing that was missing from the Women's War Games is I don't watch the pre-show WWE NXT. Why the fuck did you not replay what happened to Mia Yim? I was so confused.
I was like,
what happened to Mia?
Okay.
They just say, oh, Mia Yim was attacked during the pre-show. Okay, show me. Show me a picture. Show me anything.
I was highly
And you know what's funny is that they usually do recap the pre-show.
Yeah.
They usually recap the pre-show.
Especially with something important like that happens.
I didn't even hear you say that, to be honest.
I just didn't see homegirl.
I'm like, wait, that's not who was there.
She don't have blue hair.
Now, the men's war games was tough, yo. That spot was ridiculous, yo. I mean, there's certain things that, like, that shit just was the highlight. Like, you cannot, like, look over shit like that. That shit was phenomenal.
The people that
we all guessed Kevin Owens.
Well, yeah, we did. We damn sure did. We got that across the board. But I should have known something was up once the obvious people lost. I should have known that the next night was going to be like a guarantee for the, you know,
NXT.
We should have
be unpredictable. Yeah.
I knew my prediction night was going to win once Team Ripley won. I was like, oh shit. NXT about to go ham tomorrow. NXT about to go ham tomorrow.
Let's hear from the spotlight and the true heels about to take over.
All right, quick comments from JMC. I didn't agree with the women's war games at all. It was like WWE booked that shit. I prefer the traditional war games. That's how I know it to be. The first ever women's war game I thought was complete dog shit. Dusty Rhodes was rolling over in his grave, I'm sure.
The one thing I will say is that I understand. I like the fact that they put over the baby faces really hard, but it kind of did kind of make the heels look a little bit weak that they lost to a four on two advantage. So I'll try to be the devil's advocate and make that point for you, JMC. Go ahead.
Chris G says, Damian Priest is that goth Boricua cousin that brings the good weed at family gatherings.
Yeah, that, you know who that reminds me of? Larry Morgan.
Goth Boricua.
Larry Morgan all the way, baby.
Yo, I'm dead ass for now until the further notice. On True Hill Heat, I will refer to Damian Priest as the Goth Boricua. Goth Boricua, Damian Priest. He did it again. Chris did it again. The comment of the episode. Thank you, Chris.
Yeah.
WWE Survivor Series. Well, I have to say MVP of War Games. No, War Games. I'm going to say Adam Cole was the MVP for taking that spot. Or Britt Baker for her camera shot. Yes. Because Britt Baker was the most Googled person following NXT TakeOver War Games.
Really?
Yes, because Mauro Ranallo named her by name, saying she was Adam Cole's girlfriend. Mm-hmm. And then everybody went on Google and was like, oh shit, she also works for AEW. Mm. Good job, Mauro. WWE Survivor Series was the following night. What I will say up front, it was the best main roster pay-per-view of 2019.
Absolutely.
That's what I could say off the bat. So NXT defeated Raw and SmackDown 4 matches to SmackDown's 2 and Raw's 1. Shayna Baszler defeated Bayley and Becky.
Oh, that match was trash.
One of the worst Survivor Series main events in quite some time.
They were on the poster board. That there was no reason why that match did not do good at all. There was no reason why.
There was a reason. It shouldn't have been the main event. Unless, wait for it. I see it coming. If our Lord and Savior, UFC Hall of Famer, the baddest woman on the planet, Rowdy Ronda Rousey, would have returned, then they should have main evented. But the fact that she didn't, they had no business in the main event.
They could have main evented if the match would have been good. The match could have been good.
Becky always comes up short in big matches unless Charlotte and Sasha are in it. I said it.
You were just a
prove me wrong.
Prove me wrong. You just don't like prove Becky.
Name one big match
just
that was
say
great.
That you don't like her. That's okay. No.
I'm gonna ask you, Becky Lynch fan. Name one big match Becky Lynch has had in 2019 that was great that did not have Charlotte Flair or Sasha Banks in it. I'll wait.
Lacey Evans.
That was great.
Exactly.
She couldn't even keep a straight face. She couldn't even keep a straight face.
Okay, wait, hold on.
What I take away from this is that she has been given the biggest platform on 2 mega pay-per-views in a row and has literally laid eggs on both of them. That's what I took from it.
What is
the reason for that? If you want to really dissect, what was the reason? Why do you think that she laid 2 duds at WrestleMania and now at Survivor Series? Both her main events were straight trash.
She comes up short. When she is...
Whose fault is that, though?
That's hers. And Stat King tried the same thing with us. He tried the same thing to blame the booking.
Oh, and yes, blame WWE for this.
The booking of the match was bad. The booking of it being in the main event was bad. But at the end of the day...
So her performance
at the,
what?
At the end of the day, the person calling that match, the most experienced person, is the face of the company. The face of the company now is Becky Lynch.
Okay.
Becky Lynch should have done more to get spots called in, whether that's politicking in the backstage or calling in all the fly in the match to make that match better, and she didn't. She came up short once again.
But then why at the end of the... What was the point?
What was the point of
the point of her getting over at the end of the night?
Because she's the face of the company.
Right, but what was the point? As if you really wanted to make that...
Send him home happy.
Like, yep.
Send him
that
home
was Vince's idea.
It fell flat on his face. Because the reaction was very minimal.
Yeah.
No one cared.
Yeah.
They already lost. She already lost. Like, the person that got tapped out was no longer even in the picture of the end of the night.
Right.
Like, she was gone.
It kind of took away from NXT's victory. What I thought they should have ended was the whole NXT roster coming down and celebrating with Shayna.
My problem with the ending is that it helped no one.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't help anyone. Like, Becky coming out, it wasn't no Raw for Raw because they only won one motherfucking match. Yeah. So they all failed.
A lot of the booking was wrong because, honestly, when they went into this main event match, it was 3-2-1. So no matter what...
NXT was going to win.
Was going to win because all SmackDown could do was tie them. So they also botched freaking... They should have had it be... What,
so essentially, like one of those NXT wins should have went to Raw.
Yep.
No, it should have went to SmackDown.
No, it should have went to
Raw.
Should have went to Raw. Yeah, it would have been 2-2-2.
Yeah, you're right. It should have went to and
the
I said
last
that.
Match would have been the breaker of whoever would have won.
Yeah, and then NXT could have won there. It would have made more of an impact as well.
The one that we all called, I think most of us called it right down the line, which the Survivor Series women's match. Like, what the fuck?
That was horrible. That was a very sloppy match. It ended up being good by the end, but it was so sloppy.
It was sloppy. It was so sloppy. That was the most disappointing shit. And didn't they open it?
Yeah, they were the...
A
lot of the match didn't make sense. Like I love how WWE is now telling the story on two Raws in a row that the Kabuki Warriors attacked Charlotte randomly when Charlotte was the one that attacked Asuka. She attacks Asuka for no goddamn reason, and then Asuka spits mist in her face because you're being a bitch, I'm going to spit mist in your face, and I'm going to get the fuck out of here so you can lose.
Yep.
That's logic.
Yeah.
Just didn't make any sense.
All of that.
All of that.
Should have been 2-2-2 going into the final match. Raw should have had the
women's
win.
I didn't understand the whole NXT team either.
Huh?
The NXT team didn't make sense to me either.
Yeah, I mean, it didn't make sense to have Rhea Ripley, Bianca Belair, and Io Shirai on the same team.
That's what I'm saying.
We got both cards like Friday night. Basically.
Also true. We did not know we Team NXT until Saturday night.
We went into the third to show on Thursday night with no teams.
We knew who no one was. Yes.
So that. I should have just...
That's what made a lot of WWE fans who tried to like say, oh no, the reason why Raw and SmackDown people were on NXT, they're building towards Survivor Series. So why didn't they name any of the team NXT on either show?
They didn't give a shit about it.
Exactly. Just before you get to the spotlight in the True Heels, Brock murdered the Mysterios again. Brock was victorious in about like 6 minutes. Cole and versus Dunn steals the show.
I know.
The Fiend Bray Wyatt murders the Fiend Bray Wyatt mandible claws Daniel Bryan, but please get rid of that red light. And Keith Lee was the star. I hate the red light.
Hate the red light.
Keith Lee was the star. Was the star of the men's Survivor Series elimination match. Match of the night was Dunn versus Cole, and the MVP was Keith Lee. Anything from the spotlight and the True Hills producer.
Romeo says, Becky stands tall at the end of Survivor Series, only to not be on Raw for the next 2 weeks.
Absolutely, doesn't make any sense. But that's WWE.
Because they was getting mad at her boyfriend. That's why.
Also true.
And separately, JMC says, yeah, because Bianca Belair is nothing but trash. I don't...
Whoa! How dare you fucking say that shit? Fuck you on that. No, absolutely not. We're not doing that. Nope.
Damn, bro. Don't read the rest of the shit. Fucking up in rehab?
No, absolutely not. Like,
well, can I finish the second part?
Go ahead. Finish the second part.
I don't know.
I don't know what Montez Ford sees in it.
Yo, JMC owns the name.
But he said season her. Like, Four Seasons Hotel. Like, season her.
He corrected himself.
Oh, no. My lord.
Wow.
Praise JMC. Anything else?
No, no, not praise him. That shit is trash. Don't like that comment. No.
Absolutely.
No,
JMC, you own for that one.
No.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I mean, you kind of ate with that one. I mean, that was kind of that shit woke Chrissy up. So. You
know. So we're
now. That was good. The whole show.
That shit got Chrissy in Survivor Series mode. She ready to rumble.
We now gotta get into what's next. MLW Opera Cup. Our producer and myself might show up at MLW Opera Cup this Thursday in New York City. So let's go through the card very quickly. We'll get you guys predictions. Filthy Tom Lawler versus a member of the Von Erich family. Who you got, Top Guy JJ?
I was reading these guys down here.
I figured that. I figured that.
Like, yo, there's like a stream of... What is the first match you just mentioned?
Filthy Tom Lawler versus a member of the Von Erich family.
Oh, this show?
You don't care.
This show, I don't
know. Just name somebody. Dude, I thought it would be easier for
Von Erichs.
There we go. Duh.
I'm going with Filthy Tom. A Prince of Darkness.
Yo, I warned him pre-show I ain't picking under this shit. And he wants to still give me the platform to predict this shit.
Of course. Jimmy Havoc going one-on-one with Mance Warner in a Prince of Darkness match. This one has been building. They just came off of a no-ropes barbed wire match. Who you got, JJ?
Chrissy, pick.
Mance Warner versus Jimmy Havoc, Chrissy. Who
Jimmy
you got?
Havoc.
Who you got?
Jimmy fucking Havoc.
I mean, can Jimmy Havoc win a match?
He does win matches in MLW, yeah, but I think Mance Warner is going to win this one.
It means he's going to lose in all companies now.
The tournament matches for the Opera Cup. Opening round match, we got TJP versus Brian Pillman Jr. Who you got in this one, Chrissy?
Brian Pillman Jr.
Who you got, JJ?
You know I ain't picking TJP for nothing.
I figured you would pick Brian Pillman Jr.
Fucking TJP.
I'm picking TJP just to piss him off. Opening round of the Opera Cup, we got Timothy Thatcher going one-on-one with the Dynasty's own Richard Holiday. Who you got? Thatcher versus Holiday. Chrissy.
Holiday.
You got Holiday? Who you got?
Yeah,
JJ?
I'm definitely going Holiday because that Timothy Thatcher bum let me down last time I picked him. So.
I'm going with Timothy Thatcher in this one. He's been getting some losses in MLW, so I think he's going to pick it back up in this one. This is a battle of the Dynasty. Opening round match of the Opera Cup. It's MJF going one-on-one with the national openweight champion, Alex Hammerstone. Who you got? Hammerstone versus MJF.
MJF.
That's been such a dumb question.
You're going with MJF? I'm going with Hammerstone. Hey. He's a champion. And MJF should be 1 foot out of the door of MLW from what I see. Opening round, Opera Cup match. We got Davey Boy Smith Jr. going one-on-one with Shinjiro Otani. Who you got?
Davey Boy Smith.
Because you couldn't pronounce the other name. Who you got?
But why would you not let Davey Boy Smith win?
No, I agree with you. Davey Boy Smith Jr. should win this one. Who you got, JJ?
I'm going to go with Davey Boy Smith getting some love.
And I'm going to predict, out of all these names, I'm actually going to go with Davey Boy Smith Jr. winning the Opera Cup. I feel like he's going to beat Hammerstone in the next round and beat Thatcher in the finals. So I got Davey Boy Smith Jr. winning the Opera Cup. Who you got winning the Opera Cup, JJ?
All right.
Out of all these people,
I am going. I mean, obviously, I got a three-way tie that I predict. I'm gonna toss a little wild bone in there. I'm gonna go with Brian Pillman Jr.
I was gonna say that. Dang it!
I'm gonna go Brian Pillman Jr. to win the whole cup.
Mine was either the Brian Pillman or Davey Boy or one of the Von Erichs.
Come on, how you gonna pick like the whole card?
Von Erichs are not in the tournament. It's an exhibition match.
Yo, she basically she can't be wrong.
All right, so I'm gonna go. So. You said Davey Boy Smith, though.
Yeah.
Dang it.
He said Brian Pillman.
Here's what I predict. It'll be Davey Boy Smith and Brian Pillman in the finals.
I like that as a final. First time ever. Yes.
Hearts,
Battle
yes.
of the Heart Foundation. Who you got?
Well, that'd be great. Davey Boy.
She agrees with me, as always.
No, what? That's not true.
Yeah, I mean, you just agree with him fully. Just now.
New Japan Pro Wrestling World Tag League.
You're
going
to be rocking a Ronda shirt with him.
I can't. I'm
not. The World Tag League Finals is this Sunday, December 8th. Oh. So let's go through the current lineups from bottom to the top. Nakakishi and Nagata are 1-11. Awful. Hiroshi Tanahashi and Hanare are 2-10. They're treating our ace like a jobber and a geek.
2-10? That's,
yes, that's he's 2-10 in the tournament. No, 2-10. Oh, 4 points. Hiroki Goto and Carl Kendricks are 2-9. Toke Maccabee and Homa are 3-9. Chase Owens and Bad Luck Fale are 4-7. Tenzan and Kojima are 4-8. Zack Sabre Jr. and Taishi of Suzuki Gun are 6-6. Kenta and Yujiro Takahashi are 6-5. Shingo and El Terabil are 6-6. And Jeff Cobb and Mikey Nichols are 7-6. These next six teams are the six teams that are eligible to win the entire World Tag League. Minoru Suzuki and Lance Archer are 7-4. Toriano and Colt Cabana are 8-4. Big Tom Ishii and Yoshihashi are 8-3. David Finley and Juice Robinson are 9-2. Tama Tonga and Tonga Loa of Gorillas of Destiny are 9-2. And LIJ's own Evil and Sonata are 10-1. So out of those six teams, who you got winning the World Tag League this Sunday? I'm going to start these guys off, and I'm going to say the champions. Tama Tonga and Tonga Loa, after going to the finals for three straight years, I think they're going to win the World Tag League this year. You can read the comments since he wants to show her, Jeremy. Go ahead.
It's just some infighting in here.
Just some in-school fighting with the kids, you know.
The kids are arguing again.
Okay, fair enough.
You know, calling each other virgins and shit.
Fair enough. Try focusing on the show and not the comments so we don't have...
I'm a man of the people.
Invited to be said on
the air. I'm a man of the people.
So go ahead. Who you got?
To win the whole cup?
Yes.
If I'm... All right, let me...
The six teams at top are eligible.
Clearly, that's why there's a fucking line there.
Absolutely. I'm just making sure you know.
I mean, bro, listen, gotta go G-O-D, man. Like, yo.
He's gonna agree with me because we interviewed Tama Tonga.
Gotta go G-O-D, man. Am I crazy?
Check out our interview on our YouTube channel.
Hell yeah.
Who you got, Chrissy?
Same like you guys.
G-O-D. G-O-D. We got G-O-D because he is a true heel. He can find him on our True Heel Heat YouTube channel with our interview. In the comments section.
I was wondering why there was a squeaky line. I'm like, why is this cut up like this? I was like,
because all of these people don't count.
Yeah, but he put them
all on there.
Yeah, like, but why would you read all? You waste about 5 minutes. Stupid idiot.
Some people.
That's why.
Some people want the update of what's going on.
Who sees this?
New Japan fans.
They're not even
going to
compete.
Who?
We understand you're an undercover WWE mark. We've been through this on many of episodes. Okay, let's go. We get it. All right?
Cool. Yeah, I damn sure don't care about fucking Nakahashi and Nagata being 1-11.
Anything from the spotlight and the
clearly they don't care
before we wrap things up.
All right. JMC thinks Hammerstone is going to take it. Chris G says, anyone from the Dynasty, give me the points.
Give me the points.
They don't get judged on anymore.
Stat King says, ain't nobody realer than gorillas.
Ain't nobody realer than gorillas, eh? All right. So we got to plug our lineup for the True Hill Heat YouTube channel. A new episode of Going Raw with Drunk Guy JJ and the Romeo Report will be released tonight. The producer looked at his clock, so that means that he's short on time to post that to our YouTube channel.
So probably tomorrow.
Maybe.
He's
midnight.
Going to bed.
Midnight, maybe. Tomorrow you will have a new...
He has to work.
You will have a new episode of The 3 Count with SP3 covering the latest news, and you'll have the premiere of Dark Power with the Stat King. Later this week, we got a brand new NestXT AEW Dynamite review with Jimmy and Cash, another episode of The 3 Count with SP3, the premiere of Jabronis and Joints, and the return of SmackDown with the Lynches. So you got all of that to stay tuned for on our True Hill Heat YouTube channel. Like we said earlier in the show, Weekly Heat with Top Bad JJ.
Before we're done, hold on. You have to pay up because we had a wager.
Wait. I also want to bring up a wager because she's not wearing a shirt.
Me and her had a wager. She's not wearing a shirt. So we need to have one of these together.
Of what? Because we
bet on shots.
For
Brock versus Rey.
You picked Rey Mysterio like a dummy.
like a dummy, yes.
And you shook our hand.
You did shake our hand.
Like, you picked Rey Mysterio like so, a fool.
I will make sure, guys. True Hill Heat 57.
These will be awesome.
I will bring out the shirt at the start of the show.
Listen, this is my excuse to get a shot in. So, listen, anything that you have,
I'm not wearing that stupid shirt.
Yeah. You're wearing the shirt. You made a bet on live air.
So, you about to air. Salud.
Salud. Go. Yeah, buddy.
Hell yeah.
That's how you end the show. So, if you haven't already, go join the True Hills group page. Like and support our True Hill Heat Facebook page. And as well, we're going to have a True Hill Heat IG page that's going to be launching tonight, actually. The Spotlight. You can like and share and support the Spotlight and the Pro Wrestling Spotlight page. Support one of our admins for the True Hill Heat, Dirt Sheet Radio, Jonathan Escudero. He hosts Dirt Sheet Radio, one of the very good podcasts dedicated to everything going on in wrestling. Yes, and support Battle Club Pro. Battle Club Pro, we have a special announcement as well. True Hill Heat will be sponsoring one of their top matches for their next event on January 4th in Ridgefield Park, New Jersey. It's going to be Nick Cage going one-on-one with Jessica Havoc in an Anything Goes singles match. So I'll be there live. I'll get an interview with Jessica Havoc as well as Nick Gage. Hopefully Nick Gage doesn't try to stab me with some piece of glass or a pizza cutter or something. Pray for me.
Please pray for me. I don't know.
I'm a little scared. But yes, BCP Battle Club Pro, one for all on January 4th. Get your tickets on brownpapertickets.com. Support the True Hill Heat Twitter page. And Chrissy, where can they find you on social media?
They can find me on IG, Twitter, or Facebook at Miss Chrissy Love _ Miss Sensational Miss Chrissy Love or Crystal Lynch on Facebook.
Top Guy JJ?
Instagram is True Hill _ Top Guy JJ.
Pretty simple.
Yeah, it's pretty simple. Yeah.
Me on Instagram is TrueHeel _EpicSP3.
I like how you just say that shit towards the end of.
On YouTube.
You said you had four. One for each of us. Now you got six. Where did the other two come from?
On YouTube.
This was for us, right? This is for when he brought up ROH. And that was for our wager.
Wow.
Anywho, support the Jimmy McAram page and all his TV reviews. Battle Club Pro is also on YouTube. Toxic Talk is also on YouTube, iTunes, wherever you can listen. And the Four Quarters Podcast is also on SoundCloud, Anchor, and iTunes. So support all those other podcasts as well as True Hill Heat. Push that subscribe button for the True Hill Heat YouTube channel. So much content on there for you to enjoy. We have a video uploaded every single day now. We have weekly segments, great show reviews, and the 3 Count with SB3 for your latest news. So, until True Hill Heat 57, signing off for True Hill Heat 56, for Top Guy JJ, for Miss Chrissy Love, I am SB3, signing off until next time.